Hebrews chapter number 11. I tell you, I appreciate the good singing and I appreciate the good shouting at the house of God. Shouting don't bother me. And I think there's two sides to this thing of being saved. And one side is that broken spirit and that contrite heart and that load that we got to carry. And then there's that conviction of sin in our life and thing that we'll keep our spirit subdued. But there's another side of the story, and that is a child of God has been liberated from the power of sin and the devil. And just like the song we're singing, we've been delivered from the power of the grave. And we've got every right in the world to rejoice when God will give us the liberty to do that. And I appreciate Brother Ricky breaking through and shouting a little this morning. I've been a little concerned about him. And generally how a man breaks into his spiritual life is how he stays in it. And he broke in shouting, and I'd hate to see him lose that shout. He's kind of like a spark plug. He's like him and his mama both, they're kind of like a spark plug. When God, and like Tammy and Lisa, they're kind of like spark plugs to me. When they get excited, when, you know, I get excited. And I'm glad that God touched him this morning because it helped all of us. It did me, and I hope it did you. All right, Hebrews chapter 11, when you find your place there, if you'll stand with me, why, we'll read the Word of God together. Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to begin reading again this morning in verse number 13. We read these two scriptures on Friday night or Tuesday night, and I want to read them again today. Hebrews 11, 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And verses 15 and 16 will be our text verses for today. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. You need to underline that verse of Scripture in your Bible. Let me read that again. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Now may the Lord add the blessing to the reading of His Word. Father, we thank You this morning for the good service. I do pray You'll bless the reading of Your Word, and Lord, that You'll give some power to preach, and Lord, liberty, help my mind to think clearly this morning and give me strength in my soul and body. My spirit, I pray You'll anoint it with fresh oil and let me preach the Word of God that Your people might find help. And Lord, that they might see great light to walk in that light and give You the praise for all that's done. For we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name and for His sake. Amen and amen. Thank You now, and you can be seated. Verse number 15 and 16 will be our verses this morning, our text verses. And the Lord helping me, I want to preach for a little while on the thought how to stay in the saddle. Amen. How to stay in the saddle. You know, we've got a lot of folks that are kicking out today. Amen. And a lot of folks falling by the wayside. And I believe in one way that's scriptural because we're living in the last days. The Bible said in the last days that many would depart from the faith. And except there come a great falling away, that the man of perdition would not be revealed. And so we're scriptural in what we're seeing. But I'm glad that God's people, the truly born again children of God, have always stayed in the saddle. Brother, these folks that we've read about, they ran their race and they finished their course. They kept the faith. They received a crown of joy that the Lord had laid up for them. Now, our recent studies, we've been looking at this virtue that we call faith. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 13, now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of them being charity, but we don't want to forget the foundation of our Christian life, and that is faith. A man is saved by faith, then the just that are saved shall live by the same faith. And the faith that brought you out of the world, keep you out of the world.
The faith that delivered you will keep you. That's right. The faith that saved you by the same power will keep you by the good grace of God. Now, faith, a church, has got two perspectives. Faith is like a coin. A coin's got a head and a tail to it. That's exactly the way faith is. Faith has God's perspective. That is how the Lord views faith. And let me say this right here, that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And so there is a faith that is looked at from the perspective of God. But there's another side of that faith, and that is that's how man looks at faith. That's man's side of the thing. And if I know anything at all about the Bible, that's called works. Now, don't nobody leave me now. That's called works. Now, does not the Bible say in the book of James that Rahab was justified by her works? Whenever she had told, or whenever she had given place to the spies and had let them down over the wall, concealed them, hid them, and then let them over the wall, she had an act of faith in her life that those men would return and deliver her from the city of Jericho. And while it was being destroyed, she would be delivered. I think also the Bible said that Abraham was justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac upon the altar in Genesis chapter number 22. And so what we've been looking at from chapter 11 verse 1 right on down to the present scripture that we're looking at is man's faith viewed in the eyes of man. That is to say, what man has to do. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but man has a responsibility to God. Friend, don't you tell me that you can sit on your blessed stool of do-nothing and by grace be saved through faith. If that grace doesn't put your faith into operation, brother, you don't have a faith. That's right. If you look at these individuals in chapter number 11, you'll find there that Abel offered up a sacrifice. That's something Abel had to do on his own. Then Enoch walked with God. That's something Enoch had to do on his own. And then old Noah prepared an ark. That's something that Noah had to do on his own. He had to prepare that ark. And then the Bible goes on to say that that Abraham looked for a city. That's something that Abraham had to do. And if you look in verse 14, you'll find that these all seek a country. And in verse number 16, they all desire a better country. That is something that these people had to do by their own power. Friend, that is man's side of faith. And then, if we're really going to stay in the saddle, we're going to have the kind of faith that Habakkuk had. Now, and I'll get to the message in a minute, buddy. I'm going to lay a foundation and preach to your hide off of you this morning. Amen. I tell you, if we're going to make it, you're going to have the same kind of faith that these people had, and you're going to have the same faith that other men had and other women had in the Bible. And if your faith doesn't line up with their faith, then buddy, you ain't got much. Listen what Habakkuk said. Habakkuk makes this statement. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. Oh, but what he said, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk said, don't matter to me, brother, whether things are good or whether things are bad, whether the devil's fighting, whether the devil ain't fighting, it don't matter whether they sin in the world, whether they ain't no sin in the world. He said, I am going to rejoice in Almighty God. Now, friend, God saved you by His grace, delivered you by His power. He's brought you out of a sinful, ungodly world. That's right. And it's by joy, it's by the joy of the Lord that you'll continue your journey and make it on the other side, standing perfect without reproach in the presence of Almighty God.
Now, don't nobody leave me. And we'll get the message in a minute. I want us too, as we're looking at these people, to keep in mind who the author is writing to. That's right. Sometimes we forget who the Bible's written to. And the book of Hebrews, was written primarily to the Jews. That's right, written to the Jews. And these Jews were constantly being tempted to go back into Judaism. The temple had never been judged by God, had never been destroyed, and the temple was still standing. And these people, Paul is writing to them to encourage them to continue on in the faith. But all the time, while they're trying to live by faith and do the will of God, in the back of their mind is the temple, that old place of worship, that old place that where they used to make sacrifices and their offerings. And they're tempted in their heart to depart from the faith in Christ and to go back under the old customs and the law and worship burnt offerings and sacrifices on the altar. Now, somebody said, Brother Hall, I'm getting ready to bring my message, and I'm laying the foundation, so don't leave me. Somebody said, where does that bring us? What does that mean to us today? Look at verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what are you saying? I'm saying, friend, that just like the temple in Judaism was a temptation to the Jews when that book was written, even so the world is a temptation to the child of God today. Brother, the world has not been judged yet. Its allurements are just as strong today as they've ever been. There is yet a temptation in the heart, in the life of every born-again Christian to depart from the love of God and to go back to that old world, that old life, that wicked lifestyle that they've always had. But thanks be unto God. Oh, that's right. The Bible said if they had been mindful of that world, I'm glad, thank God, that there's a faith working on the opposite end of my faith. And where the world's pulling me into the world, there's that blessed anchor of my soul that's drawing me closer to Almighty God every day. And brother, it's by faith, it's by His faith that we just set our eyes on Him, get our affections over the world, and keep on a serving God and adoring with God. Amen. That's right. Amen. Buddy, I know the world's real. And Sunday's always temptation to go back to the beaches, back to Hollywood. Amen. That's right, but there's always something else too. It just won't let me. Something keeps me in the saddle. Amen. There's just something there, something invisible that cannot be touched by man, but it grips my soul and my life. Amen. And when there's a turn from this world to go on back and enjoy the dance and the crowds and the drink and the partying that I used to enjoy, I'm glad they set me on the other end of the line that holds me down in the saddle down the house of God. I looked in the newspaper the other day, and every time I look in it, I get mad.
And I saw that idiot, that black guy with that red hair on one side and yeller on the other side, making slanderous remarks to the Mormons. I'm not a Mormon religionist by no stretch of the imagination, but I'm here to tell you that, buddy, what I'm saying is we live in a society that is eat up by the world. Amen. That's what I'm how to stay in. That's what the gist of these scriptures that we've been looking at all the way, a friend, from Noah all the way down to where we are now, is the faith of God's people to come out of the world and to walk by faith and stay out of the world that God drove them out of. That's right. They seek a country. They look for a city. They desire a better country. Amen. They done come out of her, the Chaldees, but they've set their affection upon a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, and it's by the faith of Christ that they stay in the saddle and keep on serving God. Some of you in this building will be casualties 6 months from now. I see some of you's done headed down that road. Used to come around the church and work around the church and was here. You don't ever come around no more. You don't ever do nothing. Don't turn your hand to do nothing. I'm going to tell you what's wrong. You're backing out. That's right. You're losing interest. Hallelujah to God. Look right up here at me. Said I tell you, living for God is like a new thing. It's like a toy to some people. It looks exciting. It looks good. And they like to toy with it. I mean, it's something that holds their attraction. It holds their interest. But after a while, you realize that it's not a toy and it's not a game. Son, it's work and labor and toil. And it grows old and you fall by the wayside instead of serving God. That's right. Kind of like a radio station back there. I'm telling you, men, old Brother Billy Vincent come down here yesterday when he left. He said, Brother Hall, he said, just joking. I said, I'm considering coming over here. He said, is there an opening here for an associate pastor? I said, Brother Billy, I've been looking for one over at your place. And he kind of laughed. And he said, well, he said, I don't know how to say this, but he said, I am envious of you and what you have here. Talking about the radio station. I said, well, you're like a lot of other men. You might envy it and it might look good, but I'm going to tell you, it'd be like a hot potato after you held on to her for a little while. Amen. After you tried to make $25,000 a month payments every month for the last 9.5 years, you might would to God somebody else had your hot potato instead of you. But I'm going to tell you what it is. That radio station looks exciting. Amen. I mean, it just looks exciting. And a lot of people like to get their hands on it. It's like a lot of announcers I've seen go through back there. Brother Ray, they can't wait to sit down behind that microphone back there and say, boy, would to God if mama could only see me now. Boy, I'm on the radio. Hear my voice going out over 39,000 watts a pair. Mama, listen to what your baby boy has got to say. But after it turns out, when it's no longer a toy and it's no longer a game, it becomes a job and a ministry and there's work involved, they lose the excitement of it and leave the house of God. Stay in the saddle. Stay in the saddle. They'd have been mindful. They'd have been mindful. Now I want everybody, he's writing to these that were being tempted. Now I'm not got to my message yet, and we ain't going to leave before 1 o'clock or after. So, and I'm going to preach. Just might as well listen to what I'm getting ready to say. I'm trying to help somebody. Hey, temptation must have an occasion. They were tempted. That's right. They didn't go back to the world because the Bible said, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country, if they had have had it in their mind, if there had been a thought, if there had been a way from that world to turn and go back, they'd have went back. But they were not even mindful of that country. No wonder we ought to gird up the loins of our mind. No wonder we need to guard the thoughts of our mind. Buddy, you let your thought waves run rampant. I'll tell you, your filthy, stinking mind will think upon everything when it ought to think upon things that are pure, things that are holy, things that are godly, things that are honest in the eyes of God. Amen. That's right. Now you hear me. Temptation has got to have an occasion. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what do you mean? Well, you know, when Joseph went into Potiphar's house, Joseph was not tempted. There was no temptation until Potiphar's wife said, come lie with me. Now look here. There's probably a number of times she said that. There was always somebody around. And you can say, well, he was tempted to do it. No. She said, come lie with me. But because there was other people around, there was no occasion to do it. But there came a day, friend, when there wasn't nobody in the house but her and him. She come to him and said, come lie with me. He had the temptation and he had the occasion. Buddy, he could have done wrong. Amen. He could have got by with it in the eyes of man. He could have got by with it. He had the temptation. He had the occasion. But old Joseph said no to the flesh, no to the world, and stayed in the saddle by the grace of Almighty God. That's right. Now I'm afraid some of you in here this morning has had the temptation, and you found the occasion, and son, you went back to your old life. That's right. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you, we're going to get right down to where the rubber meets the road in the service tonight. You just might as well buckle her down. We're meeting the problem head on. We're going to meet. That's right. This morning the joy broke through just a little bit. But I'm telling you, when she starts tightening up in Sunday school, buddy, I get alarmed, friend. Amen. When she tightens up in the Sunday school hour, I get alarmed. And when you sit there, look at me over your eyebrows, under your eyebrows, like a, bless God, like you could bite my head off, I get just a little alarmed about it. But I'm going to tell you what, by the grace of God, we're going to put her rubber right on the road tonight. Somebody said, I ain't a coming. Bless God, that'll show what type you're in. I wouldn't come either if I was in the egg-sucking sin you've been living in for the last 2 or 3 months. I don't believe I'd show my hide out the house of God either, you sorry, stinking reprobate. Amen. An occasion to a temptation and an occasion to fulfill the list, and you fell hook, line, and sinker for it. Boy, we're having fun. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. That's right. Look here. It had to have, there had to be an opportunity to do wrong. Joseph had an opportunity to do wrong. Amen. But he didn't do it. You know why? He wasn't mindful of that country. I'm going to tell you why people fall into sin, Brother Chris. They're mindful of that way. Somebody said, you preaching sinless perfection? No, but I'm getting pretty doggone close to it. Somebody said, why didn't they go back to the world? They couldn't. They didn't have a mind to go back. If they had been mindful of the country from which they come out of, they would have went back there. Or y'all let me run that by you again. If they had been mindful of the country from which they come, they would have had an opportunity to have returned, but they were not mindful of where the county. You know why? God took the worldly mind and gave them a heavenly mind. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you how to stay in the saddle. I'm going to tell you why they couldn't go back to the world. They were staying in the saddle because of the renewal of their mind. If it had been mindful. Oh, that's right. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what on heaven's name are you talking about? I am so glad. Bless your heart that you asked me. Oh, Brother Paul said it this way in the book of Romans. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed. Look here, we talk about going back to the old country. We talk about the world, and be not conformed to this world. Amen. But be ye transformed by the renewing, by the renovating of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'm a nailing her down pretty close. Honey, if you like the beaches, the theater houses, football, basketball, all that bunch of junk, I doubt that you've ever been saved by the grace of Almighty God. That's right. Amen. By the renewing. If they'd have been mindful of that country. I'm going to tell you how to stay in the saddle. Son, if you've had your mind renewed, renewal of the mind. That is to say, if you've been regenerated. Saved people don't go back to the world. Y'all looking at me like that far. Saved people don't go back to the world. They did not, what that's teaching, they did not have an occasion. Neither did they even have an opportunity to go back. Somebody said, why didn't they? Son, there was something much stronger. A tugging on the other end of the line. Hallelujah to God. That word renewal of the mind there means to renovate by repetition. That's right. Day after day after day after day after day after day, the gospel of the grace of God continues to work in a man's heart and mind to renew his mind every day. I told them Mexicans this and they couldn't get over it. They were still talking about it when I left. See, the gospel. We talk about the gospel as being the dynamite of God. You know where we get the word dynamite? We get the word dynamite from the Greek word dynamo. And some people's got the idea that the gospel is a sudden explosion that bursts you into the family of God and then quits working. That would be dynamite. But the gospel of the grace of God is not a dynamite. It's a dynamo. You know what a dynamo is? If you know what a dynamo is, drive down to the lake some afternoon, not this afternoon, we're preaching tonight. Amen. Drive down to the lake on the Cumberland River, go into power plant, and look at what's generating the power in the power plant. It's a dynamo. Right. Somebody said, what's a turning? What's that dynamo doing? That dynamo is constantly turning. And as it constantly turns, it generates power. It generates life, friend. It gives life. That's what the gospel does. It's constantly a generating power. It's a dynamo that continuously generates the power of God in our life to make us a child of God and to keep us out of the world. Somebody said, what turns that dynamo down there? I'm glad you asked. It's turned by water. Turned by water. That's what turns. Sorry about that, Brother Doug. That's what turns your dynamo, the Word of God. Amen. That's right. Now somebody said, well, what if I lay the book down? I've got news for you. It ain't just in the written Word. You've got the dynamo of the living Word inside your bosom. And it turns and turns and turns. You ain't going back to the world. You're saved. I can't in my life figure out who would want to get off a liquor bottle and go back to drinking that puke. It'd be like, Miss Sharon, it'd be like a man getting off of welfare and living, doing a good job, and then going back to that old state of letting somebody else make his living for him. Once you've been brought off, friend, you don't go back. Once you've been weaned from the bottle. Oh, we're preaching today, son. Oh, thank God for pleasures. Gotta have the world. Gotta have nudity. Gotta have television. Gotta have sex out of wedlock. Gotta wear my short shorts. Gotta suck down the world. Suck her down. Suck her down, friend. I tell you, you're the sucker if you suck her down. Hallelujah. I'm in the book. Thank you, Brother Steve. I was kind of wondering about you. I was worried a little bit. And truly, he said, truly. That word truly is the same word. Boys, I can't get into the message. That word truly is the same word that Jesus uses. Verily, verily. Truly, truly. It's a fact. It is an absolute fact. If they'd have been mindful, if it had ever entered into their mind to go back, they'd have went back. I'm going to tell you why they didn't go back. They desired a better. Hey, something better. Oh! Hey, something better! Whoa, yes, thank God! That ain't something better than a headache off a liquor. Ain't something better than punching a nose from a strange woman's husband. Ain't something better than sin dragging your dad in the gutter. Ain't something better. Ain't something better than fornication. Ain't something better than adultery. By the grace of God. Something better, buddy. Something better. Amen. That's right. That renewal of the mind. Renewal of the mind. No wonder we ought to discipline our thoughts. Gird up the loins of your mind. Discipline your thoughts. Let your mind run on everything. That's right. Now, in that renewal of the mind, look here. The reason they stayed in the saddle, when their mind was renewed, there was a change of direction. They went out. My direction of life has changed, folks. Getting saved like a man traveling west on I-40 and stopping right in the middle of the road and turning around traveling east. Like a man traveling south on Interstate 65. Just before he crosses into Tennessee, into Egypt, he turns around down there around Bowling Green and comes back. Hallelujah to God. It's like a man traveling north on the Pennyroyal Parkway. About the time he gets to the Veterans Bridge, he says, I'm going in the wrong direction. Indiana's over there. And back to Kentucky he comes. Somebody said, what is repentance? It's a change of mind. It is a change of mind that will cause you to have a change of direction in life. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Changed his direction. He changed his desires. He said, for they, in verse 16, but now they desire a better country. Desire it. Do you desire it? Oh, this world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. Brother Ricky, this old life's full of sin and the devil, sorrow and heartache. But like I told somebody, like I said, preacher and I, faith, our faith, the joy of our faith is not in what we've got right now, but it's in our expectation of what we got up the road. They look for a better country. So there's got to be something right here better than this, boys. And I've got a desire to go there. I've got a desire to go. Come on. My heart. Look here. My head's already up there. Jesus already there. That's my head, Sam. And I got news for you. My heart's already up there because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I have found a treasure in Him. Oh, I'm about to go crazy. I found a treasure in Him. My heart is over on the other side because I found a price, a great price. Hallelujah. He is my treasure. Glory to God. Amen. That's right. Amen. I got a desire. I wish I knew one of them old primitive quartet songs I'd sing. That's right. Change direction. Change desires. I've changed my devotions. For God is not ashamed to be called their God. You see, before old Abraham and them worshipped them old idols down in the Ur of the Chaldees. Just like you and I, men today worship motorboats, bass boats. A lot of them headed down to Kentucky Lake yesterday, dragging their God behind them. I'd hate to think that my God was so little I had to drag him behind a pickup truck behind me. I've got you a littler God than that. I've got a littler God than that. Oh, yeah. Baseball boys and football boys and basketball boys. Motorboats. Amen. I tell you, I can show you some more gods than that. These fellas get up on this platform, paint up all that mess on their face and look like a devil and pick a guitar. Sounds like it ought to be thrown in hell and burnt to a crisp. Amen. That's where it ought to be. That's right. Them kids out there are screaming and are worshiping them gods. Oh, I'd hate to think that my... Oh, that's right. I've changed my devotions. Oh, Paul walked out in the midst of Myers Hill, looked around at all their devotions. He said, hey... He said, I beheld all your devotions, and I perceived it in all things that you are too superstitious. But he said, I beheld that inscription on one of them to the unknown God. Said to him, I want to declare unto you this day. Son, that's where my devotions are. I want to declare unto you the unknown God, the invisible God that's building a country and building a city. He prepared a dwelling place, and by the grace of God, I'm going there. I've got a desire, and I'm going there. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Jesus beckons me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. That's right. They stayed in the saddle because of renewal of the mind. I want to say secondly, God have mercy. I want to say secondly, not only a renewal of the mind, but they stayed in the saddle because of repentance of life. The Bible said that they came out. That's repentance. They came out. They moved in another direction. Now, I want everybody to get a hold of this. They came out and stayed out. Repentance is not a once for all, but it's an often. It's as often as our conscience of displeasing, as often as we are conscious of displeasing God. It's just like believing. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth. See, folks, we have got the idea that believing and repenting is in a single act. Oh, no. We repent as often as our conscience tells us that we displease God in our life. We repent. And believeth, he that believeth, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Didn't say whosoever just believed. Now, just to say it's believeth. That word believeth denotes a continual action. Believeth, just continually believing, 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 believing. No wonder. How could they apostatize if they lived in a state of faith? If there was never a thought that entered in their mind of going back to the world, how could they apostatize? But now look here. I'm looking at it now from God's standpoint. We've been preaching from their standpoint. They offered. They walked. They prepared. They sought. They looked. They desired. Amen. And without those, you ain't going to make it. You're pulling your leg, buddy. You're deceiving yourself. Amen. That's right. I want to, if I can find this, let me drop down repentance of life. I want to drop down this because I've done preached enough to go home, but I still got a few other thoughts. Not only a renewal of mind and repentance of life, but there's a responsibility to God. Now, please don't leave me. I'm giving you something that I've never heard a preacher preach. But listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Bible said He's not ashamed to be called our God. Now, what we're looking at in these people's lives, when they offered, they walked, they prepared, we're looking at their responsibility toward God. And if you live by faith, that faith, there is in faith a responsibility in your life to God. Now, please don't leave me. I'm getting ready to nail something down. Many preachers have presented eternal security and in such a fashion that they virtually deny the Christian's responsibility, causing many to live a life of ease in the course of carelessness and a reckless life. Are you hearing me well? I am sick of the term eternal security. Well, once saved, always saved. So all I got to do is by faith come to church a couple of times a week, once or twice, and just believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, died and rose again. That's all I got to do, and I'm eternally saved. I'm going to tell you what that's done. That's caused women, that's let women put on Bermuda shorts. That's let no responsibility to God. I say this in love. I say this in love. Miss Hall and I went to eat yesterday, place in town. There's a young lady working there, and I don't mean to be critical. And I'm not going to call her name. I'm not slandering that young lady. No, but she's a daughter of a pastor in this town. Baptist pastor in this town. And she had on a pair of shorts and is attending a Bible college. And is in for the folks. I'm telling you, folks like that are. They say, look here, that once saved and all I make a little flimsy profession of faith up there at the altar. I got saved. I made the profession. I can just go off and live like hell if I want to. No, my friend, you have forgotten the responsibility of man in the eyes of Almighty God. I'm going to tell you, Miss Sharon, what preparing for this message has got me to see. It's got me to see a whole lot of the Armenian side of faith. What they're doing. And somebody said, well, I don't have to do that. Yes, you do if you're saved. Now, don't tell me you can lay out of church. Don't tell me you can lay out of church, cuss, drink, dress ungodly. You women wear your shorts and breeches and all that mess. And that's right. Men grow, let their hair grow down over the back of their neck, cuss, tell dirty jokes, say horrible things about women, make slanderous remarks about women and how women look, and be saved. You're lost. You're lost. You can open your mouth and slander a woman in her appearance and talk about how a woman's body looks to you. You're lost. That's right. Some of you in here is going to hell if you don't get saved. And God's rung your telephone and rung your telephone and you have not answered. He's piped to you and you wouldn't answer. You got on this altar back when Elliot Smith was here. You tried to get in. You ain't got the job done yet, buddy. That's right. I'm going to tell you what it's done. It's caused people to live at ease in Zion. I don't have no responsibility. God saved me. Once saved, always saved. I can wear my fender skirts down over my ears. I can tell potty jokes down on the job if I want to. I can listen to rock music. Who's going to tell me I can't listen? I can't listen to gospel rock. Don't tell me I can't listen to that stuff and be saved. All right, I will tell you, you can't listen to that garbage and enjoy it and be saved. Thank you, Tommy. Do you enjoy that stuff up there beating in your ears? Say that real loud to these people.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I'm in the hole this morning, buddy. This afternoon, whatever it is, I don't really give a flip. We preach. If I can preach till 3 o'clock, I'll just go back and eat dinner with Chris and go home. That's right. Yes, sir, I want to say again, I can understand Brother Shehorn and some of these Armenians, where they get their side of doctrine. They're looking at it at the responsibility of man to God. And buddy, man's got a responsibility. To do good works. Let me just quote some scripture. Buddy, we are putting her down with it. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto, UNTO, good GOOD, works, WORKS. There's their works. They offered. They wealth. They prepared. They looked. That's their works. And if you don't have works, James said, without it, your faith is dead. As a body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And he's not talking about sitting on a church pew sleeping while the preacher's trying to preach. I'm going to tell you something. The only person got a right to sleep in church on Sunday morning would be Miss Ruth. She works till midnight and gets up and opens the radio station at 6. Now, I might overlook her. Some of you young folks laying here nodding your eyes, that's a bunch of junk. That's right. And it's caused people to be at ease inside. That's what's wrong with us today. That's why we're so relaxed. That's why we live like the devil today. That's exactly why we live. That's why we don't care if we get out the gospel. That's why we don't care if we sow the seed. That's why we don't care if we worship. Well, I'm just cold at heart. I'm just cold. I've just got a little cold. I've grown cold. I'm going to tell you what your problem is. The newness wore off of it and you're lost. They'd have been mindful. Son, they never had a mind to go back. Why is it that all the conversation you ever get out of some people is an old worldly conversation? All they want to talk about is what they do on the job or hunting, fishing, gigging. Something. That's right, just a bunch of junk. Never want to talk about God. And you try to talk about God and they can't talk about God because they don't know anything about Him. That's right. They was and then, hey, we're asleep. We're asleep on God. Now is the time. Now it is high time to wake out of our sleep. For our salvation is dearer than it was when we first believed. That's right. That's why people are asleep. They just don't see their responsibility to Almighty God. That's why there's no holiness. That's why holiness has went down the tube, buddy. It's because there's no response. That's why women in Baptist churches, independent Baptist churches, that's why wives of independent Baptist preachers can crop off their hair and look like a Corinthian whore, buddy. I'm telling you, that's right. That's why women can wear their slits up their hind end down at the house of God, wear their little knee-high huggers and bob their hair, paint up their face, fill their ears full of earrings. It won't be long. They'll be sticking them in their nose. You know what? As long as my wife wore her hair the way it is, she come in one day and her hair cropped off up, looked like some man. You know what I'd think about my wife? The very first thing I'd say is what she's had ain't real, buddy. She's not got nothing. Somebody said, you can't base salvation. Oh, call me what you want to call me. But when a person forgets their responsibility to God, when they're no longer mindful that they must give an account to God for their lifestyle that they've lived, then I've got a problem with that. They were not even mindful. They did not even have an opportunity to go back. Boy, man, I'm trying to preach. I know it's 1:00. There was a renewal of the mind, repentance of life, a responsibility to God, but there was a renunciation of the world. And I've preached all around that. They had to renounce the very world around them. Folks, you can't, hey, Brother Nolan is a pretty wise old guy. I've heard him make this statement years ago, back in 79. He said, if you straddle a wooden fence long enough, you're going to wind up with splinters in your britches. And that's it. Hey, what he's saying is, if you try to put one foot in the world and the other in heaven, it ain't going to be long, friend, but it's down the line, it's going to reveal it somewhere. I ain't going to make it great, Brother Steve. You can't live with one. That's right, we're like that. Oh, we need to renounce the world. Hey, we need to renounce the world in our matrimony. Do you know that when Abraham got ready to pick a bride for his son Isaac, you know where he went? Right back to his own people. Now, I know it was in Ur of the Chaldees, but he went back to his own people. Now, I'm telling you, it's only by the grace of God, Miss Hall and I are together. We wasn't even saved when we got married. We just got married. And there's been a lot of people like that. I understand that. But I am here to tell you right now, friend, if you are a saved child of God, you have no authority, no right to look for a husband or a wife out yonder in the world. It'll cause you trouble. And I'm going to tell you, you better find a Baptist. If you find a Pentecostal, a charismatic, somebody outside your faith, it is going to cost you trouble. That's right. You are headed for a big problem, buddy. Sarah and Abraham were yoked up in the same faith because they both come out of the same mold. We need to renounce the world in our matrimony. We need to renounce the world in our manners. God help us to have Christian manners. Amen. That's right. We need to renounce the world. Inner mirth.
Now, I preached all around this. Somebody said, what do you mean, mirth? I wrote out in my Bible, pleasures versus joy. Moses, by faith, decided to leave Egypt and suffer with the reproaches of Christ rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Buddy, I'm going to tell you what, there's a whole lot of folks wrapped up in pleasures. Don't know anything about holy joy.
Oh, God, if I could get you to see that. Toys. Old knives and guns. And bunch of junk, folks. It's just pleasure. It's something that's flesh. But oh, there's coming a hallelujah day. Oh, we want to be at ease. We want to be comfortable. We want possessions and pleasures. We want to be at ease and don't want to be troubled. God help us. God help us just to renounce the world. It's soon going to be over. Laid in the bed last night, I asked Miss Hall, I said, am I dying? She said, you ain't leaving here without me. But if He calls, I'm ready. I'm like Paul. I've got a desire to go to be with Him.
Amen.
Two more thoughts and I'll just mention these. Another reason why I stay in the saddle is because my residence has changed. If they'd have been mindful of the country that they come out of. I've got a new residence, buddy. I'm a citizenship of heaven over on the side. But now they desire a better country. What a residence. Hey, it's not enough to renounce the world. If we must also have our hearts carried forth to heaven itself. I've already mentioned that. My heart is in heaven. It's not on this world. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of people dying. I'm sick of sin. I'm sick of politics and fussing and fighting. I'm sick of preachers fighting each other. I'm sick of junk. And look here, the last thing, I'm going to stay in the saddle, there's a reward to be expected. My text says that God is not ashamed to be called their God. Now, I said in the Sunday school class this morning, where were you when God found you, when He visited you? I'm going to tell you where you was. You was in Ezekiel 16. You was like a baby that had been birthed into the world. And there was nobody to cut the navel cord. There was nobody to supple you with water, nobody to wash and clean you up. You were just birthed and left laying in your own blood and polluted there. But Jesus visited you and passed by and said, live.
Yeah.
Now, He found you like that, in that condition. Pitiful. No eye pitied you. None had compassion on you. They were like the priest and the Levite. They looked over at that ditch and saw you and said, well, we'll let somebody else take care of this mess. But I'm glad when Jesus passed by. He said, I'm not ashamed. Boy, if you can get a hold of that. Do you know what that word, not ashamed, that word not ashamed literally means? That He'll have no cause to blush. No cause to blush. Somebody said, what is your reward? Christ is my reward. And the city that He's prepared is my reward.
Yes.
Hey, that's why I'm staying in the saddle. Aren't you glad that He can look at us wrapped in the robe of His grace and He'll never blush? For when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. Well, He views me in garments as white as the snow, for the Lamb.
Lamb of God is worthy, for He loves me, this I know. You have that kind of faith. Faith that will keep you in the saddle. Or will you be the next one to fall asleep in the saddle, break your neck along the pathway of life and become a casualty? You can get right today if you need to, as we stand together.